Welcome to Federici's. What can I get for you guys?
Well, as hard as it is to believe, given our apparent ages, this is my son.
Seems about right.
Okay, good. My son is currently studying at a local pizza academy.
Really? Which one?
New York Pizza Academy.
Well, then I hate you, because I'm a Pizza Academy in New York man.
Oh, wonderful.
So, what fraternity are you pledging?
I'm not. There are no fraternities at New York Pizza Academy.
That's right. You correctly answered my trick question. Now I'm bound by Pizza Academy tradition to grant you any request.
Wow, this could not have gone any better.
We need to see all your delivery receipts from the last 2 months.
Oh, you got that delivery receipt exam coming up, huh? Oh, what a bear. Ooh. Here you go. Take your time. I'll be in the back trying to think of other ways to help you.
TBTL!
In a few hours, you're going to be smarter than anyone you've ever met.
Do you like to see what I see? A talking duck?
Yeah, that's it. I've been doing too much toot.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
You know, you're overthinking it, buddy. I mean, just kind of see this as a fun thing to do where you make a little bread.
Our apologies.
It's okay.
Okay, no we'll problem. Be right back. No and problem. You're off to an awesome start.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Hello. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
I just want to hug this show and never let it go.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
I know this podcast is a very big part of your life. You've mentioned it to me multiple times.
Coming to you from the Nest Broadcast Center, high in the sky, above Portland, Oregon, where we are looking at another beautiful day, although I'm happy to say it's temperatures are now sub 90 degrees, which I've talked a big game on this show about a couple of things. One, I can drink coffee shortly before going to bed. Weird flex, but okay. The other thing is I've said that as I get older, I'm now the ripe old age of 45, I actually don't mind warm weather as much. And that is true. But boy, 95, I was feeling it the last couple of days. It was toasty. So glad that we're getting down below 90 degrees here in the 503. Speaking of numbers, this is the 3437. That is episode 3437 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
Where we're bringing back an old segment, Sky Jinx Woo.
Sky Jinx Woo.
In which we talk about stories related to air flight, air travel. I think Sky Jinx has been on hiatus for most of the pandemic because most of us haven't been flying very much during the pandemic. Well, that is changing. And as people are coming back onto airplanes, they are bringing their own alcohol. They are getting very drunk. And they are being a menace to both the other passengers and the staff of the airlines.
Drunk people are so meta.
A number of the major U.S. airlines are delaying bringing back alcohol service because they say that drunk people are a danger on their flights, raising the question, do we even need to be drinking so much or at all on flights? Don't get me wrong. One of the great joys in my life is to eat a box of little cheeses and crackers and drink a glass of red wine on an Alaska Airlines flight. But on the other hand, is it the best environment? We're stressed out. We're in a giant aluminum tube full of farts. Is it the best time for us to be going ham? Anyway, we'll look into that. Also, about two-thirds of the world's commercial airplanes were grounded during the pandemic. And mostly they were grounded in dry desert environments because that's better, I guess, for the equipment. The equipment lasts longer in an arid environment. And they had a bunch of these planes that were stored out in Victorville, California, where the folks bringing these planes out of storage, unmothballing them, if you will, they had to bring something called a wheel whacker to get all of these snakes out of the MFing plane.
Oh, God, I don't like to think about snakes.
Yeah, the rattlesnakes living in Qantas jets in Victorville, California. We'll tell you what's going on with that. And then, time permitting, we'll tell you the story of this kid in Spain who got mad at his parents.
I'm mad at you, Dad!
Because they would not let him wear a tracksuit to the local village. And so he started digging a hole. And 4 years later, he's not done yet. He has made an incredible underground fort with Wi-Fi. And he's now 20 years old, by the way. And we will bring you the latest on that. Speaking of kids and fantasy, it's a Blurs Day Thursday.
It's my birthday today.
So we'll be celebrating the Blurs Days as well. Can't do any of it with the help, without the help, that is, of this guy. Oh, speaking of madness, this guy...
The world needs to see the madness that is my upper torso, okay?
He just started going back to the gym, and the results are already apparent. He is Andrew Walsh. He's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, man, you don't mind me doing the show topless today, right? Just want to let my muscles kind of breathe.
Yeah.
After that sure. day of pumping iron. Actually, I pumped yeah. zero iron. I did nothing. I was on a...
Well, you got two broken fingers. I'm impressed yeah. that you even darkened the door of a gym with your what is... I mean, we heard about the bugs up your butt yesterday. You're dealing with a lot of physical maladies to go and work out. So I salute you, sir.
Thank you. You know, I had talked on this show a while back. I think it was... I think even before I was fully vaxxed, or maybe even before I had my first shot, I had just like floated a trial balloon, like, should I go back to the gym? I know the gym is open again. I can work out in a mask. I'd really missed, you wouldn't know it to look at me, but I'd really missed going to the gym because, wait, that made it sound like I looked good during the pandemic. You wouldn't know it to look at me that I missed the gym. You know what I mean.
Anyone who's listened to the show for more than one episode knows that that's not... That would never be the nature of a statement that you would utter about your corporeal
yes.
form. So I think you're safe. We all know. Yeah. We all take that in the spirit it was intended.
Exactly. So anyway, but I had just been in a good routine before the pandemic broke out. Just like I was going to the gym almost every day. That's when I started listening to the Lebatard show pretty regularly, and I had sort of had that connection to it. It was like just part of my routine. Then I would stop at the same 7-Eleven on the way home and get a Gatorade and put it on ice in my water bottle, which... it was a new thing that I was experimenting with and I missed. Anyway, I missed it a lot during the pandemic. And then I said, well, once I'm vaxxed, you know, I can't wait. That'll be one of the first things I do. I'll start going to movies again and I'll go to the gym. And then I don't know if it – I think it was mostly the fact that I broke my finger before I got fully vaccinated. So I guess to complete my thought before, I was toying with the idea of going to the gym before my vaccination, but I did not follow through on that. I did not decide that that was a good idea. So I was like, well, I'll go after I'm vaccinated. And then I broke my finger right before my second shot, and I did feel very fragile with this thing and thought, well, I'm probably not going to go to the gym until I get this weird kind of pin contraption pulled off of my finger.
Yeah.
But then yesterday was the first kind of post-TBTL-a-thon Wednesday where I really had a lot of I got done with my work. And while I had other projects to work on, like my Concur, I have like 100,000 receipts, as do you, Luke. And I promised myself that yesterday I was going to start
I'm the Cruella of Concur receipts. I've got 100,001.
Yeah, right.
Somebody wrote on Twitter the other day, like, look, I'm not siding with Cruella, but 101 Dalmatians is too many. Let's be honest.
It's a lot. I mean, they got in over their heads. I actually don't even really know the plot of that movie. I don't remember.
Cruella's the good person.
Yeah, right.
Weird naming on that show. Weird. Uh-huh, I don't know why they decided to go with that for the hero.
Yeah. Whenever I think, all I think of is Mr. Burns, Feel My Vest or whatever. See My Vest, yeah. Feel My
Vest. So what happened at the gym?
Sorry, now I'm just thinking about Mr. Burns. So yesterday...
I'll go on the radiola.
Wow. I thought that was the drop, man. That was really good.
With endorphins from working out.
That was you, right? I'm not joking.
that was me.
I'm not kidding, man. Go back and listen to the tape. That hit me out of the blue. It took me a second to realize that was you. Anyway, all of that.
You'll
is
know
to
it's
say,
me because I don't even think that's the drop. I think it's like as often is the case with me. I think I'm like one or two words off with it. I think he says radiolo or radio. I'll go on the most popular show on the radiolo or something.
Yeah, here is it this here?
That's it. The radio. I'll go on the most popular program of the day. I assume that's still Don McNeil in his breakfast club.
But wait, there's another one where he says radiola or something that which
anyway,
you said,
please,
right?
I've interrupted your story too many times already.
No,
tell me about the gym.
Great heavens, what kind of radiola show is this?
That's what it is. You combined a couple of drops. But either way, I was there for it.
Thank you.
All of that is to say, why did I end up going yesterday? You know, I had been putting it off because of my broken fingers and feeling generally fragile and gearing up for the TBTL-a-thon and maybe just not feeling like I had the mental space for the gym in my life. It just hadn't occurred to me. And then yesterday, I was done with my work about midday, and I'm like, okay, I got to dig into all this Concur stuff. And I was like, but I'm hungry. I should go grab something to eat. And I thought, well, wait, what if when you're done eating, you swing by the old Gymarino, which is another thing that Mr. Burns says, I believe.
Yes.
Let me find that drop here. Okay. And I looked down at my finger, and I said, I mean, I put my finger through a lot more by, like, you know, going on the road and setting up.
Honestly,
and breaking down
You were doing functional medicine or functional physical therapy for the entire week. We were doing the trip. You were hoisting tables and chairs out of the van and running equipment. And that was probably more of a workout than you would maybe do at the gym.
Exactly. Like there was, or certainly it would put my finger more in the way. I'm like, I can be on a. And I said, you know, you don't have to. I said to myself, you don't have to like go ham, as you like to say, at the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your first time back in over a year. I haven't been in any kind of space like that. You know, I've been in some restaurants and bars, but I haven't been in, like, a gym. I don't know what the rules are there anymore, but let's go check it out. Like, the finger can be fine on an elliptical, and then I can maybe just do some crunches. Like, that. Neither one of those are finger-intensive. So I'm really curious how this is going to work out. I almost brought my Vax cards with me, but I was like, nah, I don't. It's 24-hour fitness, which is, as we discussed, more like 20-hour fitness at this point. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think they're going to ask for Vax cards, and if they do, well, then I'll deal with that later. So I just went, and I walked in, and I was surprised to see that the guy behind the counter – now, I don't know if this is breaking Washington laws or not, but the young buff man behind the counter was not wearing a mask at all. I didn't know that employees couldn't of any establishment could go maskless. I don't know if he was flouting the rules or not.
I have started to see that a bit here and there. In fact, the hotel that we stayed at in Phoenix, there was, you know, a like a plastic partition, but it was like the employees. It was very haphazard. I'm not saying this to drag anyone there. Everybody was very nice, and I'm assuming they were vaxxed. But it was like people would have masks on. Then some people would have the mask on, but it'd be pulled down. Then some people wouldn't. It was like I think we're moving into this moment where I would guess the law on the books in places like Washington and Oregon is if you were working somewhere, you're supposed to be masked. But people are also just starting to go, I don't know, man. We're all vaxxed. Just everybody. Everybody just play it as it lies or something.
You know? And it didn't bother me too much. By the way, I mean, just I'm so proud of myself for saying flout correctly there. You know I wanted to say flaunt, right? But that's wrong. And
good job.
Thank
God,
you. It took me a while.
You nailed transgressive yesterday.
That's right.
If you didn't make it to the end of yesterday's show, you got to listen for a real treat. Andrew getting the rare W.
Getting the rare W. I am now flaunting the fact that I got flout right. I'm flouting my flout.
I love this side of you. Flaunting my flout, I'll write it down.
Yeah, so anyway, I was a little surprised by that, but I said, hey, this is my first time back. They usually to log in there or like to sign in when you get there is you put your little finger on a little like biometrics device and you just sign in with your fingerprint. It's been that way for a decade or however long I've been going there now. And so I walk in, I realize, oh, those are gone. And then I'm like, oh, right, I guess kind of the, you know, we were trying not to touch the same things for a while. So maybe that's a safety thing. So the guy just, he's like, what's your phone number? And I gave him my phone number. I'm like, at first I thought he was going to be a little curt with me because he wasn't giving me much attention. He was having a conversation with somebody else. But then I said, hey, just this is my first time back. Like, what are the rules? What do I need to know? And he actually ended up being a very, very helpful young man. He said, you know, feel free to wear the mask if you want, but there's no mask rules. The locker room is fully open. You know, try to social distance with people. We have some machines blocked off so that you don't have two people working out directly next to them on machines. But, you know, except for like there's like a sauna and a hot tub or something that I would never set foot in anyway. I'm not going to set foot in the hot tub at the 24-hour fitness next to Northgate anytime soon.
That wasn't, so, and to be honest, pre-pandemic, that was probably also your policy.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. I didn't even know those things were back there until like a year or two ago. Anyway, so I went in, but here's, I don't think this is very interesting, but I will say the most interesting part for me was I go directly into my routine, right? I go into the locker room. I don't show up in gym clothes. I like to show up and leave in street clothes. So I go back to the gym, I go back to the locker room, and first of all, I notice, like, wow, this is midday and still kind of pandemic times. Like, it's relatively dead. I was able to get the best locker, the one that I always hoped to get. Nobody was around me. That was nice. And then I'm, you know, in my gym attire and I'm ready to go to the elliptical. I'm still leaving the mask on. And now keep in mind, like, I'm double vaxxed. Not double vaxxed, but, you know, I'm fully vaxxed and past the...
You didn't get all the vaccines? I've got all of them.
Yeah.
Even the ones...
Yeah, they're
even
fighting.
The ones that did poorly in trials.
Yeah.
I got all of them.
I made my own vax. I've been cooking up stuff in the kitchen here and injecting it. Just like, why
the sausage
not?
Vax.
Luke...
Someday science will recognize that it was one dose. It was delicious.
But the problem is it doesn't go through your veins because your veins are too clogged to actually make its way through. I realized I had a dream last night where I was at a 7-Eleven and people were getting their vaccinations from the soda machine. You could like put a cup under there and the vax would like kind of come out, but it was like a stalactite.
It's not the worst idea, by the way, to reach these last stragglers.
Right.
You go to make a graveyard at 7-Eleven and just a freaking needle drops down and pokes you in the hand.
Yeah. the big gulp vaccination, they call it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this was the moment that felt really, really weird to me as I come out to the gym floor. I find the elliptical that works for me and I get on the elliptical and I kind of forget that I'm wearing my mask even at first because I've just been wearing it so much. But I was going to say before that so much of my mask wearing, as we've said on the show, and I have been very diligent with my mask wearing through all of this, has been less of me feeling like I'm protecting myself, but me feeling like A, I'm doing the right thing, B, I'm sending a message to other people, let them know that I'm doing the right thing, C, just making other people feel comfortable around me. Like, it's been very rare that I've been in a place where I feel like I'm wearing this mask to protect me. For better or for worse. But here I am, fully vaxxed now, in the gym, on the elliptical, like a minute or two in, and suddenly I realize, oh, I'm still wearing my mask. I guess I don't have to. But I didn't just rip it off. It was the first moment that felt really weird to me, like naked and afraid, sort of. Like, I was like, well, it'll be a lot better if I take this thing off. I can breathe better as I do this exercise. But it just felt so wrong, and I felt very vulnerable. Like, I'm around other people. There was one fellow in front of me. He was wearing a mask. There was one woman to my left. She was not wearing a mask. Either way, I'm like, do I believe in this vaccination or not? And again, I know that it's not 100%, for those of you who are quickly emailing me that. But, you know, it protects you. I have the Moderna one, which has really great protection rates. But, like, it was like a weird leap of faith. I felt like Indiana Jones when he had to take that leap of faith where he had to step out into the chasm and just assume that the land bridge was there. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
I think it was from the third one. It's dumb, though. It's just a perspective thing. Like, when the camera moves, you can then see the land bridge. Couldn't he have just shuffled off to the left or the right and moved his perspective a little bit? Always bothered me. But anyway, it felt like that. Have you had any moments like that?
Well, it's funny because, God, this is just going to turn into, like, gym talk today, I guess. But I was on Tuesday when it was like extremely warm here, I thought, oh, you know, it'd be fun to go sit by a pool somewhere. And then I thought, you know, I co-own a house with a pool. It's very far away. Okay, let me focus on Portland. And so I was like,
just a gut punch, just acknowledging the little gut punch there for a second.
Let's just say it was noted somewhere in my mind that it's very hot, and I was like, God, I would love to sit by a swimming pool. And I thought, I'm 50%. I sort of have at least half. I'd like to sit by half of a swimming pool.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's fine. But it was funny because I was like I was sort of calling around. I called the McMinimins. There's a McMinimins facility called Edgefield, which is out in I don't know the geography that well yet, but it's a little bit outside of town, but not too far.
It's not the and Beaverton I think it used one, to... is it? I stayed in the Beaverton one.
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's the other direction, but it's I'm sure similar. It's some massive place that used to be like, I think it was literally like a, you know, do we say insane asylum anymore? I don't know what we call it. I think it was like an asylum of some kind. And now, of course, it's a bunch of cute restaurants and it has a soaking pool. And so I was like, I'll go out there. Well, they were like, you have to be staying at the hotel today to go there. Normally they sell day passes, but they weren't doing it because of the holiday weekend. I don't know why that I need to point that out, but just lest people email me and say you could have gotten a day pass, I tried. Mm-hmm. Then I called the apartment building next to mine, which is very fancy, Andrew. It's called 5MLK. They have a pool on the roof. I tried to break out the charmingest Burbank charm that's ever charmed on the leasing agent, and I almost got there. But basically saying, hey, what are the chances of me maybe visiting that sweet rooftop pool that you guys have, even though I'm not living there? What if I took a tour of an apartment? What if I, you know, I was just trying to be funny and likable, and it was kind of working. But then she said, you know, because of COVID, Andrew, you'll be unsurprised to hear, she's like, right now the rule is like, even people that live in the apartment building and are paying rent can't bring any guests.
Yeah.
The only people who can be up there are people that live in the building, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So it turns out I know somebody who has a membership to this like very fancy health club out in a different direction into the sort of suburbs of Portland. And that fancy club has a swimming pool. And so my friend said, yeah, I'll just like put you on the like list or whatever, and you can go to this fancy gym. And she said, by the way, this fancy gym, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. So I got there and I was like, I'm vaccinated. I've been vaccinated for a long time. I know I can walk in here with no mask. And I did. I wanted to just feel the feeling of being in a, I mean, it's a massive facility too. Like, it's like the ceilings are like 200 feet high. Like, it wasn't like some tiny little basement where like I was never within 20 feet of anyone, but still I got in there and I was walking around. Now this is where the story gets interesting only to you, Andrew. I'm walking through this place, heading back towards where the pool is. And, I see that there's a tall gentleman in a mask who bears a certain physical resemblance to someone that I know. And I'm like, is this possibly who I think it is? So I do a loop, and then he's talking to a trainer though. Like, he's getting a tour of the place, and I'm trying to listen to his voice because I don't want to walk up to this person who's in a mask and say who I think it is unless I'm pretty sure. But, and also, by the way, I don't have a mask on now. So I go rummaging through my bag, and under my beach towel and my New Yorker magazine, I find my mask that I had taken off triumphantly because I was like, I can do this. And I put it on because that's how strong my virtue signaling is I don't want this guy that we both know, if it's the guy I think it is,
Dykstra,
to see me without a mask. So I put the mask on, I walk up and I go, Carl Gardner? And he goes, huh? And I go, it's Luke Burbank. I'm hoping it was because of the mask and not because of the 20 pounds that I've gained, but I had to introduce myself to him. It was our old boss, Carl Gardner, who lives down here now and was getting sworn in at this fancy gym I was sneaking into.
Nice. Did he have to put one? He was getting sworn in. He had to put one hand on a diet book and then repeat an oath.
He said, I promise to train at the highest intensity and to put Zumba above all. I don't think Zumba's even in style anymore. I don't know what the current cool workout is. But no, it was this dude that we used to work for.
Our big boss. He was the biggest boss we had there.
Yeah, he was a fan of yours, and he was a fan of mine. I always thought of him as being kind of like the most cerebral dude, or one of the more cerebral dudes that we ever worked for, who was like a boss of a commercial radio station or cluster of commercial radio stations. Anyway, my point, I guess my long-winded point in that is I did go inside and walked around without a mask. And I didn't work out, by the way. I was just there to lounge by the pool. But
And the pool is outdoors at this place?
Outdoors, I felt like I wanted to assert my scientific and my legal right to be inside a building without a mask on to see what it felt like. But then, as soon as I saw somebody I thought I knew, I went and I dug the mask out.
Yeah, yeah, but also
he had a mask on I just didn't want to seem. I didn't want our ex-boss, who I hold in high regard, to see me and think, oh, Burb's a mask denier.
Yeah, but also, yeah, I mean, you're being honest about where your thought process was right there, but also, I think if I were going up and talking to somebody at the gym, somebody who I had not seen in, you know, at least 5 years or whatever it's been, and they are wearing a mask, I still think out of respect I would put on a mask. And you can call it virtue signaling, but you can also call it consideration for where this person is. Like, if they're wearing a mask, there's a reason they're wearing a mask. And for whatever reason, like for 5 minutes, I'm going to go say hello to them. I'll match them. I'll put on a mask too. I think it's okay for me to say this, like, when we picked up Christina, Kiki Lolo, for the trip, you know, I can't remember. We picked her up literally at the side of the road because it was kind of hard to get into her apartment complex. So she was kind of standing at a bus stop area on a pretty busy road.
And unlike
road.
The way that you and I are very free and easy about our residence, let's just be vague on
the part of LA
we were in.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. If you want her address, I can send it to you. No, I wouldn't even know. But anyway, but we picked her up, and I think she was wearing a mask at the side of the road. And then you hopped out first, and you put a mask on right away. And I didn't do that because I thought – listen, I know that all three of us are vaxxed. Christina would not be going on this trip if she weren't. I know that Christina has been incredibly strict with going out and like the way she's been treated, just incredibly responsible during this pandemic. But I'm like, we're all going to be in a van together for, well, originally, if we hadn't broken down, it was going to be 4 days, 5 days. I can't remember when you consider the return trip. So I was like, well, obviously we're not all wearing masks in the van the whole time. It didn't even occur. So I hopped out to say hello to her outside, and I saw that you had masked up, and I felt terrible. I can't remember if I apologized or not, but I did. I actually, a big chunk of that ride up until the point where we got to the Disneyland gas station, which was just amazing. It was as magical as you told me it was going to be, Luke. It was.
They say it's the most magical gas station on Earth.
The way that it was locked and nobody could get any snacks. Just beautiful.
There were skater kids there menacing us.
Menacing just by skating, I think, right? Were they actually menacing you?
No, they were so nice. But they looked like the kids, the bullies from The Simpsons, had been realized into actual human form.
Right.
But they didn't do anything bullyish. But why am I doing this right now? I'm sorry. Just give me 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Christina wanted to get some snacks. I needed to pee real bad. You were just marveling at the wonderment of being within one block of Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
And the gas station was locked. The mini mart was locked, which I've never seen before, at 8 o'clock at night or 7:55 at night. And these skater kids skated up. And I was wondering, like, they could just skate somewhere else. What is their – it was almost like that experiment where they give a kid one marshmallow, but they say if you wait, you can have two marshmallows. And it's a study of, like, delaying gratification. I was like, do these kids have any sense of delaying gratification? Or are they just going to be like, it's closed, we're out of here. Let's blow this popsicle stand. They saw it, and then one of them said, oh, it's closed. And then the other guy said, what time's it opening? It was like 8:05. And the other guy goes, what time is it? And a different kid said, it's 8:01. And then the other kid said, it's 4 minutes. Let's wait. Which was totally the right decision.
So you were proud of them?
I was proud of them. I didn't know if they would just be like, you know, forget this play. I don't know what they were going to do, but they just decided to wait out the 4 minutes. You know who didn't wait the 4 minutes?
Us.
We were like, deuces. Okay, sorry. Back to your regret.
Oh, yeah. So I just sort of felt bad about it in that case because I felt like that wasn't really respectful to Christina. Because then you said, Christina, it's okay if we take off the masks or something. Somehow you addressed it head on and you started it by putting on your mask and then asking. And every other scenario, I do that too. But for this one, I'm like, oh, we're in this car together. We are on the same page.
Well,
and I made an assumption. And, you know, again, it just goes back to the Carl Gardner thing. It's just like, I don't know if it's virtue signaling or just meeting people where they are and having the conversation before you make the assumption. And I don't know. I don't think there's anything, you know, bad or negative about
that. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I don't think there's any harm in it. It does sometimes drive me a little bit crazy because you know how I get around what I feel like are rules or behaviors that are at some point not really rooted in any real good reason for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that being said, it's such a simple thing to put a mask on and to just be like, oh, hey, are you cool if I take the mask off? Like, it's such a small lift in my life. So if it matters to somebody or if it just makes somebody feel more comfortable or even just makes somebody feel like I'm not assuming anything, it's like, I'm good with it. Also, when we saw our friend Nora McInerney at her house when we were doing the show, she said to me, because I had the mask on because, you know, we were in her house. And she said, oh, you know, you look good. And I was like, it's this mask, man. It gives me like a jawline. And I realized it's the mask is the closest I'm ever going to get to a beard, like to being able to grow a beard. And I don't know if I'm ready to give it up. So, again, although we should go to the break now. And I don't want to I'm always now a little bit try to be careful about these kinds of conversations about our bodies and our body types and where we're trying to go with them, because everyone's body is different. But the first 20 minutes of me being at that gym were like, oh my God, I ran into Carl Gardner. And then the next hour was me sitting by the pool, just feeling deeply not great about the state of my physical being right now after pandemic of indulging in probably more drinking than I need to do, and certainly more eating of entire pizzas late at night than I need to do. And I just was sitting there like, there was all these buff dads there.
Buff
I mean, there
dads.
Were some dads. There were some dads that looked like me, but then there were some buff dads. And I was like, that's not cool. You can't be like a buff dad with like three adorable children and that you're chasing around being all cute like that. Like, that's not fair to the rest of us for you to be this fit and also being a good dad. Like, no, please knock it off with that. And so I made a little decision there in my mind that I'm going to try to be just take better care of myself. And I don't have a super specific goal, but it's just like fewer 11 p.m. pizzas, kind of cut it out on the so much boozing and try to keep with my exercise. Speaking of which, this morning I was out on my little jog, and you know how I have talked about that one particular section of bridge? It's the Hawthorne Bridge, where I always find myself deviating my trajectory or my path to make room for other people, particularly other people who are walking.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic thing is it's a wide sidewalk, okay? But it's also it's the sidewalk that is used by people that are running, people that are walking, and people that are cycling. You cannot ride your bike on the bridge itself because it's like these weird metal grates because it's like a bridge that goes up and down. So the problem with this setup is if you're jogging along and then there's someone walking or a group of people that are walking towards you, they're hugging the railing. They're hugging the water side of this sidewalk. For me to go around them puts me in the path of these cyclists. And some of them are hauling ass. So it's like I'm always kind of nervous ideally, like the perfect thing is when there's no one on the bridge. And then I just hug the railing and hug the water, and then I know that I'm A-OK. Well, for some reason today, I just felt like I'm jogging, I'm hugging the railing, and I'm just going to like stick with this plan. And for once in my life, I'm not going to have the stress of trying to merge into the cycling lane to go around people who are walking. And it turned out there was like only one other person on the bridge, and he was this guy walking towards me, and I'm jogging, and he's walking, and I'm hugging to the side of the bridge, and he's hugging to the side of the bridge, and we get to where we're about 20 feet apart, and he just stops. He doesn't move over. He just stops. Like, try me, dude. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. So, of course, because I'm just running and trying to keep my time up, I glance over my shoulder and make sure there are no cyclists, and I go around him. But I was trying to get a sense of him as I went around him. Like, I couldn't put him into a category if he was like a business dude, if he worked for a nonprofit, if he was someone who was experiencing homelessness. He didn't have whatever the markers, the traditional markers of that are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was just this kind of like doofy white dude with a ponytail and a backpack on who had just decided that he was going to stand his ground on that path. And I was so mad at him for the rest of the run. Now, had he moved out of the way, I guess I would have been the one that prevailed. Like somebody is going to have to give up the right of way on this, right? And it just happened to be me. But I felt like what I think sometimes it must feel like to you sometimes when you have been obeying the rules and then someone is just being unnecessarily a jerk about it and it really frustrates you. I just felt so mad at this guy, like furious at this dude for the rest of my jog over a nothing. There were no other bikes. I just went around him. It was fine. But I played out like, well, what if I would have just stopped? And then I just wait for him. And then we just start TBTL late. Like what? Like I was playing through all these scenarios.
You start doing TBTL together. I was like, wow, you guys really bonded over this.
I mean, it would be an interesting show.
It would
be. I think I would tune in for that. Luke. Sure. And this derp in a ponytail who just decided to plant his feet and like, I'm not moving off of this line. And I'm sure that this is all coming from my own just being overly annoyed and whatever. But I think I laid this out towards the beginning of the pandemic, my totally arbitrary rules of the road and the sidewalk. I would think that if I were walking on this bridge, like if I were just out for a nice relaxing stroll, I would be more inclined to give people who are running a little bit of a berth because my reasoning would be if I'm walking, it's less of a thing for me to kind of like look over my shoulder, check for bikes, kind of just like assess the situation and then pop over. Something about when I'm running and if I'm really tired and then there's lots of things on that bridge that are irregular on the ground, you know, like sort of pieces of metal where the like bridge goes up and down and meets and things. For me, when I'm running and I'm like tired and it's a slight uphill on that bridge, the first half of it, looking over my shoulder actually feels like a thing. Like it feels like I'm expending more energy. And if there's a bike right there by me, I'm running, so I don't want to be too close to him. Maybe I trip. It all feels a little perilous. And if I'm walking, it doesn't feel as perilous to me. It feels like a stroll, and it feels like I just glance over my shoulder. I see there aren't any bikes, and then I just give the person some space. That's what I think I would do. This guy chose not to do that. And it was so funny to me that literally the one time that I decide I'm going to assert my legal right to stay on my path, I run into the one person in Portland who just wants to, like, assert their right more than I wanted to assert my right.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I completely understand that feeling. I know you want to take a break, but you've just said so many things.
We
skidded through three different topics, and I want to address several of them. First of all, what you're talking about, just like my inherent, I'm not saying that it was what you're talking about is necessarily pettiness, but I'm going to call this pettiness.
I was being very petty, for the record.
Getting back into the real world, you know, I've told you before that the parking lot under 24-hour fitness is like a really tight one. That's often one of those things where people are driving around in circles looking for a spot. I didn't realize that there's a whole second level, like, underneath that you can go to. It's, I guess, slightly less convenient, so people don't go down there. But, like, on the main floor of this small garage, people are always fighting for spots. The spots are very tight, even the non-compact ones. And yesterday it was not especially crowded. Like I said, this was midday on a Wednesday, still coming out of the pandemic, so it wasn't a super, super busy garage, and I found a place to park no problem. But then as I was leaving the gym and I came out to get my car, I saw that somebody else, like, I drive a VW Golf. That thing is a compact car. I was parked in a compact car spot, clearly labeled compact car. And I came out and I saw that somebody was parked not directly next to me, but like two spots down in the compact car spot. In another compact car spot, it was some sort of a Subaru, but it was big. You know, it was like a station wagon-y kind of thing, whatever we call those modern versions of station wagons.
Crossovers?
Sure, yeah. And it didn't fit in the spot. They were literally crossing over into another spot. Again, these spots are very tight, and it's a garage.
That's why they call it a crossover.
Yeah, yeah, they're crossing over the line. Assholes. And, like, you know, these are the types of spots where not only are the lines tight, but there are pillars holding up the garage, right? It's like an underground garage. So, you know, we've all experienced that where you really have to squeeze in there tightly. Well, this person parked next to one of these pillars, but then did not, you know, was not able to fit their car into the allotted space. And now there was nobody parked next to them because nobody could park next to them. And it says compact car. And I'm just like, I wanted so badly, well, I wanted badly to set it on fire or scrape it up, which, of course, I would not do. I wanted to write a note that just said, clearly this is not a compact car, and you can tell because it doesn't fit in one space. Like, why did this person just think, oh, yeah, I'm going to park in this car? Like, and I'm sure this person didn't even realize they were doing it, and that's what drives me crazy. Like, I don't know what's worse. I've said this on the show a million times, a broken record, but, like, is it worse if this person's like, huh, don't fit it, I don't fit there. Eh, who cares, suckers? Or is it somebody who doesn't even realize because they're just in their own, you know, they're not thinking about their impact on other people at all, and so they're just going to park their goddamn car wherever they want. It doesn't matter what the sign says, and it doesn't matter if it's clear that they're just blocking somebody out of a spot. Like, why even try to mostly fit in one spot if you're going to do that? They should have just parked right down the middle and taken them both up. Anyway, right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. That's just more of the pettiness. And, of course, I didn't do anything. I didn't write it. And I was like, dude, the garage isn't even that busy. There's plenty of places to park. You're leaving now. There's no need for you to be upset by this person. But, you know, that's a weakness of mine. I just was upset. Okay, that's one thing I want to say. Now, going back several topics ago, you entering this nicer gym and feeling kind of a relief of not having to wear your mask, I think that, like, if I were going to a restaurant or a nicer place, or even Teddy's maybe, I would love to be able to walk into Teddy's and not wear a mask. I'd really like to be able to go to Teddy's and sit at the bar at some point. I'm looking forward to those rules changing where you can actually sit up at the bar. But anyway, I think that this demasking, the demasking of Andrew at 24-Hour Fitness, I also wonder if part of that is because I think those facilities are generally gross. Like, now, it's not super like, let me put it this way. When you go into this 24-Hour Fitness, it's super, super tall industrial-style ceilings, right? Like, I think there's probably – it's more like two stories in there. So I feel like there's plenty of air circulation. It doesn't feel cramped. You don't feel like you're on top of other patrons. But 24-Hour Fitness, generally speaking, always feels kind of cruddy to me. And I go to one of the nicer ones, by the way. I asked him why there was the extra charge on my bill, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's because this is one of the – Club Fits or something, which is a nicer one. You have to pay more for it. I'm just like, oh, really? Tell that to the people who are just spitting gum on the ground. Like, in the stairwell going from the garage up to the gym. Now, this is outdoors but kind of covered. I've always noticed that whoever these patrons at 24-Hour Fitness are, they think it's okay to spit their gum on the stairs. And in me walking – and usually it's already trampled down and old by the time I see it, and it just looks disgusting. Today, one of the very first things I saw before entering my gym for the first time in over a year is brand new bright yellow-green piece of chewed-on gum just stuck right there in the middle of the stairs waiting for me or somebody else to step on. And I'm just like, who is – the MF-er is probably the same person who parked their Subaru. Like, I mean, just like there is something about
the
clientele.
You think it was the ponytail guy who confronted me on the bridge?
And so
he might be responsible for all three.
I think of 24-Hour Fitness. I think of the times where I have to like go in to use a shower, but somebody has just used it before me and they've left Band-Aids on the ground, which I can't think of anything that makes me want to retch more than that, with the possible exception of eating cottage cheese. Like, there's just things about 24-Hour Fitness and who I presume to be some of the clientele there who do not put, like, I don't know, cleanliness at the forefront, that just makes me think that 24-Hour Fitness is a dangerous place to take off a mask. I wasn't thinking this directly, but I do wonder if I was in a nicer club, I wouldn't have had this weird demasking feeling, but it was just like, I think I have some thoughts of grossness around this place anyway. You know what I mean?
Right. So you were just like, and I know what you mean about it. There, well, sorry, men's bathrooms. I may always wear a mask in the men's bathroom. Like, you go into a you go into a men's room and you have a mask on. It is at like a, you know, at an airport or something. It is a much better experience to have that mask on.
Yeah, right.
So there are times where you're like, yeah, you know, I would do this anyway. Like, this is actually for me. This is no longer about the rules.
Now, I have one more comment, and this, maybe you'll want to answer this after the break. I don't know, but it is a serious question actually. Your experience at the pool yesterday. Where you described you're sitting there and you had a lot of body shame. And it sounds like even more than – I mean, obviously, you've talked about having some body shame at times, and it manifests different ways on the show before. But that specific experience of being at a pool and taking off your shirt and feeling – it sounds like pretty uncomfortable with it.
Yes.
Had you had that before? That is something that I have had my entire life. And I go back and I look at old photos of me and I'm like, you had it then too? You were skinny then. But I have always had that. I was a fat kid. I grew up with a fat kid mentality. I've always been kind of out of shape. The idea of going to – I've avoided pool parties even as an adult here, still in my 40s. I would avoid
I know where, we can, where we can have half a pool party if you want to.
You know, I've always been uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable in that situation because I have so much body shame. And as you said, all the caveats. I know I shouldn't, blah, blah, blah. Is it still white boy summer? Like, I don't know what Chet Hayes is on that whole thing. But, like, all those caveats, I am who I am, and I'm just telling you, I have always been deeply, deeply uncomfortable in a pool-like setting, unless it's complete strangers and Genevieve around. Is this the first time you've had that specific feeling in your whole life?
It's not the first time, but that the feeling has evolved over the years. When I was, like, a teenager, I was very skinny, and I was embarrassed because I was very skinny.
Oh, my God.
And because I didn't have any armpit hair. Huh. That was my biggie for like a couple of summers, was like I was the late kid to get armpit hair. And I just was mortified about that. So you'll sense a theme, by the way, because it's just basically like whatever my body type was, it felt. But that wasn't – I mean, I loved swimming, and I would swim at Green Lake for hours and hours and hours. So obviously it didn't hang me up that much in those days. And then you know, throughout my 20s and 30s and when we, you know, when I had lived in a house with a swimming pool and stuff, I certainly would have my shirt off there when I was swimming and stuff, and it didn't make me feel particularly embarrassed. I think that through the pandemic, I've definitely – also, I just think it has to do with my age, has to do with, you know, probably my testosterone levels going down. Just my body's changing a little bit, and it feels like I'm either going to have to literally make it the only thing that I focus on, which is – doing some crazy amount of like kettlebell working out every day, which I just don't really have the heart for. Or I'm going to have to just kind of embrace the fact that my body's just a little bit different than it used to be. And so anyway, to answer your question, this is the feeling that I had the other day was much worse than I've had it in the last 15 years. And I think it just had to do with the fact that I have put on some weight during the pandemic. I think it was – honestly, I mean, you want to get down to the very, very prosaic level. I have some flattering swim trunks. They're still somewhere in storage in Bellingham. Mm. So I had to wear these random ones that I just had down here that were like not very flattering. So I just didn't like the way my body. I mean, I think a lot of people can, particularly our female listeners, can probably identify with like a flattering bathing suit versus a non-flattering mm-hmm. bathing suit. Mm-hmm. Sure. I was wearing a non-flattering pair of shorts. So there was kind of a lot going on, but it's, I'm fortunate in that has not. I'm not somebody who has been avoiding boats and swimming parties and things like that my whole life because of feeling embarrassment, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. So but it really was one of those. Well, what it was I was like looking at the different. I'm not saying this is healthy, by the way. It's unhealthy, probably. But I was looking at the different dudes my age who were there. And there were the dudes who clearly had prioritized staying in shape. And there were the dudes that hadn't. And I was squarely in the camp of dudes that hadn't. And I didn't like that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, just me. I'm not telling anyone else how they should feel about themselves. So
that's
I don't,
interesting.
You know.
Yeah, I just was kind of curious. And I don't know if that, as I'm rethinking about that question, your answer is exactly what I was interested in hearing. I don't know why I was so interested in hearing that. But I just think of you when I've been kind of picturing what you were probably like or what our friendship would have been like if we knew each other in high school. I think we've like, or even maybe younger than that. And I think we've established that we were so different, we probably wouldn't have hung out. I do wonder about that,
though. I bet we would have hit it off.
I bet you we would have because I think that, whatever, I think that maybe we would have. And on this trip we were just on, there were moments, I think, when it came to the signs, which we thought were stolen, and probably the wind. And, like, you laughing your ass off about that and me being mad, for some reason I keep picturing that in my head of us being both, like, 14 years old. And you're, like, little lanky Luke just laughing about it and me being, like, pudgy Andy kicking the tires and just being frustrated by it. Like, that is our – there's something about our core that was revealed there, I think. And it just reminded us of reminded me of what it seems like we would have been like if we were childhood pals. I don't know why, if you can follow that at all. It's just what went through my head. And so I just picture you as a kid, lapping up the sun, maybe being self-deprecating about a concave chest or something. But for the most part,
oh my
like,
God.
A kid like me would kill to have a concave chest, right? As opposed to, you know, like boobs, which was what I was dealing with at that age. And so... like, I don't know. I could just see you just kind of being so comfortable and drawn to those kinds of situations and gregarious and splashing around and having fun
yeah.
and being everything that I would want to be in those situations. But literally my entire life, I have not been able to be that person.
I definitely had was very fortunate that of the different things internally that were going on for me emotionally, I was both very insecure about certain things, like I had pimples, which was embarrassing, and things like that. But I definitely would have a ton of fun at, like, I looked forward to going to Wild Waves,
mm-hmm.
you know, once a year. Like, at the end of 7th grade and the end of 8th grade, you got to go to Wild Waves Water Park, and it was like you would sit in the wave pool and try to, like, flirt with the girl that you had a crush on, maybe Tiffany McMacken or somebody like that.
You were Mackin on forward, McMacken.
I was McMacken on McMacken.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, by the way.
Mm,
I did end up. They were able to get me into a Janelle Smith at a reasonable price. I came on the lot. I was like, "Well, show me the McMacken." They're like, "Sir, we've looked at your armpit hair. And we think you'd be more comfortable in a Janelle Smith." Okay, but the fact that I looked forward to that all year long probably tells me in retrospect that yeah, I was lucky to feel pretty comfortable in my body in those ways. But I think not to take this to like the place I keep taking shit right now, but I just think it's where I'm at in my life. I also think this one dude, actually it was like two dudes, but these two dudes were completely unintentionally having a big impact on me and my sense of self at this swimming pool. And they were both these dads. They had cute kids, but they were both fit guys. And they were running around chasing their kids. And I think I had this feeling of like, I'm this puffy version of Luke that's sitting here with a grown child but no younger kids, and I'm working through my second divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just feeling kind of like a loser overall, and there was something about these guys who seemed to have – and, of course, they have their whole own set of problems. I don't know their lives. I didn't talk to them. But there was something about seeing these dudes running around who seemed like they had their physical shit together. They had cute wives. They had cute kids. And I was just kind of like – man, how did I miss the boat on all of that? So I almost think that their in shapeness was just almost a signal or some was the tip of a larger iceberg that I think I've been just feeling a certain amount of, like, how did I find myself at 45 with kind of as little success in the relationship and family building department, you know, as I sort of have. Like, I've just been feeling some sense of that lately. And I think that these guys also being hunky was just making it even worse for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate the honesty there. And I think it's really, really relatable. And, you know, as your friend, you know, I don't want you feeling that way. And I'm not going to
tell you when I lose 20 pounds.
Exactly. First of all, lose 20 pounds and you'll be perfect. No. But, you know, in those moments, as much as you can, you're not asking for advice. And I was kind of, you know, probably asking a lot of prying questions here.
Well,
but
you've been self-loathing longer than I have. So honestly, I'll sit at your feet.
Do remember of, you know, how many great things that you have going on in your life that you aren't seeing in those moments. But just, like, think about your life and, like, you know, those guys don't have a moderately successful podcast. Actually, they probably do, but they certainly don't have
one of them was Joe Rogan.
They certainly don't have a very popular radio show, you know. And again, I know that these things aren't always rational and they're not always the same thing, but whatever. The best you can probably do is just remember that, like, this is one you're focusing on a couple of aspects and they're kind of related, and you're feeling kind of down, as you should. You're going through some shit. If you weren't having these emotions, it would be more worrisome, because it would mean you're a sociopath, right? Like, you're going through some hard shit. Like, it's okay to feel that way, but also try not to beat yourself up too much, and remember that you got a lot of good shit going that you've worked for and earned.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, I will tell you this. That was Tuesday. Today's Thursday, so it hasn't been that long. But what makes me feel better than I was feeling that day is in the subsequent days, I've been eating a little better. Like, I have not been eating a pizza every night. I've been trying to stay steady with the exercise. We're talking about 3 days, but still, it's like I have been low keying on the alcohol. So what I feel good about is that moment, which didn't feel super great to me, I'm translating it, at least in the very short term, into doing some things that are making me feel like way better, as opposed to going further into the behaviors that have, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I could have gone home that night and just poured myself a super tall glass of JMO and watched the Mariners, although I think Tuesday was a day game, so whatever. I could have probably, I could have just, like, just been like, F it, and I'm just going to, like, this is me now, and I'm going to just go deeper into the things that are probably not great behaviors for me. But I didn't do that. I haven't done that so far. And that actually makes me feel kind of good. Like, I was out on my jog this morning, and, like, despite wanting to throw that guy off the Hawthorne Bridge, I felt generally pretty happy, and I'm feeling very happy right now. So I'm going to try to keep that at the front of my mind, like you said, the things that I really have to be thankful about. And when I'm getting those feelings, kind of put it in the direction of, like, doing something about it, as opposed to just giving up or something. I don't know. So
do not watch the Mariners games when you're spiraling, my friend. That is not the right way to go.
I watch you. It's kind of funny because, like, you know, I watch your Twitter account now to know kind of how badly things are going for us.
I don't tweet that much, but it is true.
No, but, like,
that is probably the last few times, because I tweet so rarely now that it's probably only, it's like the emotion and alcohol involved of watching a goddamn Mariners game when I'm going to probably tweet something out.
I got so bummed yesterday because I was all excited. I swung by this place, Huero, that I love, and I got this, like, healthy salad bowl thingy, relatively healthy. And I was, because, you know, I was like, this is new Luke. I'm going to give those hot dads a run for their money at the gym pool. And I was like, the Mariners are on. And I kept checking the app, and it was like 0-0. And I was like, yes. And then I realized either the MLB app wasn't updating, or in the time between when I parked the car and got in the elevator in my building and got to my apartment floor, Oakland had put up 5 runs. So I had this whole plan in my mind, which was like, got my yummy food. I'm going to just have this, and I'm going to watch the Mariners. This is going to be so great. Ooh, it's a good game. It's 0-0. To turn it on, and it's 5-0. And I'm just like, yep.
That's about where I left things yesterday as well. I said, I got better things to do with my life than watch this Michigas again.
All right. You know, it's 54 minutes into the show. I think it's time to take our first break. So let's
Thank
go
you,
ahead
sponsors.
And do that. all right, quick break, and then we also have Blurs Days this week. So this is actually, if we're going to do this, if we're going to drag it out, this is a good day to do it, because all those people that are waiting to hear the Blurs Day messages, they've been listening to all of this. Like, we've incentivized people to get to the end of the show because they want to hear themselves or their loved ones recognized on their birthday. But we've in the beginning, in the run-up to that, we force them to listen to All of My Deepest, Darkest Self-Loathing. So everybody wins, I think. All right, quick break, then back with more TVTL in a moment.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
I am thinking about proposing a little, I don't know, calling an audible here, because I honestly think this conversation about if we even need booze on flights is an interesting one, and one that you and I both probably have a lot of thoughts on, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it lives next door to the conversation we just had about, I don't know, behaviors and what's good for us and bad for us, et cetera. I feel like it could go right back to the question of alcohol consumption, things like that.
Well, let's maybe save both of this to Gaijinx for tomorrow. And let's, because I have not read the story about this teenager who's created an underground cave. Like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's some dazzling details in that.
There are. And, you know, just a special preview for people who are going to listen to the LiveWire radio show this week. This may also come up on that program. So act surprised when you hear it during the best news we heard this week. This teenager named Andres Canto, when he was 14 years old, got into an argument with his parents. This is according to the UK, the Mirror in the UK. The argument was over the fact that they wouldn't let him go to the local village wearing a tracksuit. He lives in La Romana, Spain, by the way. So in retaliation, he stayed home, and then he grabbed his grandfather's pickaxe, and then he took out his aggression by attacking the ground in their garden with this pickaxe. All of this feels very teenagery, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm just so mad, I'm going to go do this.
I can picture Paul Rudd throwing a teenager-style fit in this man.
Right. This sounds kind of, sort of on brand for being a teenager. I wish they would have elaborated on the tracksuit situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally honest.
He's very dedicated to the tracksuit.
Or was it like, that's your good Sunday tracksuit? You don't get to you can't wear that in a town on a Tuesday and get it dirty because that's your special Sunday go to meeting tracksuit? Or did they just think it was like beneath him or beneath them? Was it that they were trying to preserve the tracksuit? They were like, you're going to get the tracksuit dirty? Or was it that they thought it looked too casual?
And maybe for the teenager in question, it was less about the actual tracksuit, but just more about autonomy. That is something with teenagers a lot, I understand.
Well, he's got a lot of autonomy now because he's 20 years old. And for the last 6 years, I might have said 4 years earlier, I had the timeline a little off. For the last 6 years, he has been creating his own underground cave. He's been working on this thing day and night for the last 6 years, Andrew.
So it started with him just throwing a tantrum with a pick.
Yes.
And then just kept on ripping up dirt, And then at some point, in that moment, or maybe even a day later, a light bulb went off and said, well, if I keep going, I could just make my own room.
And what's crazy about – what's really great about this article, too, is they've got photos of Andres when he was, let's say, 14 and a half, when he started to do some real digging. Like, he had enough for a little room down there. There's a picture of him. And then next to it – and he's, like, sitting there on, like, a little cushion on a bench, or like a little bench seating he's made in the cave. But this looks a little bit like where we stayed when we were in Cooper Pedy, Andrew.
That was cool.
I'd say not quite as designed out, but, you know, we've stayed in an underground cave before. So there's a picture of him as like a 14-year-old, and then next to it is a picture of him as a 20-year-old. Like 6 years later, still down in the cave, still digging. He brought his friend around to help him. His friend brought a pneumatic drill. It got serious. They spent up to 14 hours a week digging almost 10 feet into the earth in the garden.
This is a large property, I imagine. Like, this is just like, it's kind of like country.
I'm going to guess. Okay. They don't really say, but it's like La Romana, Spain, which I haven't heard of. I don't think it's a major metropolitan area. I get the sense it's somewhat rural.
Okay.
They write in this article, the layout of his retreat was often determined by the obstacles that got in the way of the project. He said, sometimes I came across a big stone and it could be frustrating after hours of digging that I had done almost nothing. And so apparently what he would do then is if he like hit a big rock, he would just make it part of the like architecture of the cave.
Cool.
The soil was originally moved by using hand buckets, but as he went deeper and deeper, he began to study excavation techniques online, and he eventually developed a pulley system to take rubble to the surface. This thing has Wi-Fi. It has multiple rooms. He's reinforced the ceilings using an arched entrance and vaulted ceilings, I should say. He's got columns that are built in to prevent a potential collapse. he stays down there a lot of the time now. It's like he says the temperature is always constant. So if it's a real hot day, it's nice and cool there. And if it's a cold day, it's nice and warm in there. Like I said, he's got Wi-Fi. He's got electricity. This is his chill-out zone. His parents, like, if someone comes over and they're looking for Andres, they're like, he's in his cave.
I wonder if this is a Bonvoy property yet, because I feel like it's going to be eventually, right?
I mean, let me check on the app right now to see if I can use some of my Bonvoy points there, or if it's one of these fancy ones that's not accepting points right now. This kid, I have to say, is living out my childhood dream. I was, like, this was, you know, this was a fantasy that I had as a kid, which was to dig an underground fort that had, for some reason in my mind, the big thing was it was going to have a couch in it and it was going to have lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was trying to do this in a teeny tiny postage stamp size backyard of a rental house in Seattle, like a backyard that was probably 50 feet by 50 feet. I can only imagine that if I would have had the determination that this kid has shown and actually dug something like this, there would have been a massive sinkhole that would have opened up, and it would have taken the whole Green Lake neighborhood with it.
I'll bet you, and I don't know the last time you did this, you are a property owner, but...
Well, half. Yeah, I own half a pool.
I was wondering whether or not
I should. Today's show title be Half a Pool Party? half a bunga, dude?
I don't know. That kind of sounded gross. The last time that you've started digging, like, that fantasy you have as a kid. Now, I did grow up, like, out in the country. Like, we had some acreage, you know, like 7 acres or something, but plenty of room for a little kid to, like, run around and get into trouble and find nooks and crannies in the property to create little forts and what have you. And yet, anytime you start digging, you just think, well, what if I just don't stop? Like, nothing is stopping me.
You'll get
me
to China.
You just
That's
keep,
what
yeah,
we
just
all
keep
thought.
Digging and digging. And I never got that far. But I'll tell you what, Luke, when
you never got to China?
No. I got to some part where it was like bubbly orange, like hot liquid. And it was really hot. And,
yeah.
You know, my friend Don Moore touched it and he burned his finger. So I said, maybe we should just start putting some of this dirt back in. I think I might have left him down there, which is something I feel bad about. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Are you thinking of an episode of DuckTales? Are you confusing your life with DuckTales again?
Let's see. I do remember he was saying DuckTales. Woo. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. What is the lyric when you're. Oh, I'm thinking of Muppet Babies. Never mind. Forget it. I was going to say, though, as an adult, as a young adult, but as an adult in my 20s and then maybe early 30s, Veeves and I owned that house in New Hampshire, which just had a tiny little plot, but it was a little plot behind our house. We had a fire pit, right? We have big parties and stuff, and every now and then I would dig out the fire pit. Maybe it's, I don't know, in the fall at the end of the season or whatever. And our house, like, you know, this is New Hampshire. Everything goes back hundreds of years as far as, like, kind of property lines and what have you. And our house, when it was our house, I think that thing was built in the 1890s or something. So a long, long time before that house was built there, I think it was some sort of a dump. I don't know the better word for it, but I know that the neighbors all believe that, you know, we found so many little relics and stuff. If you dug a little ways, like, we had little glass bottles that look like they're from the 1800s that Genevieve still has, and things that you don't have to dig that far before you start finding this stuff. I think the earth is probably pushing it to the surface, and as you dig a little bit, you find it. What's that?
Do you know what the glass bottles very likely were? This is a known thing.
I don't know. I'm picturing a little.
Where the outhouse was.
Oh, these, the ones I'm talking about, the one I'm thinking of, like, right now, was something about the size of, like, a little medicine thing, like a dropper bottle almost from back in the 1800s.
But a big thing, I know this because my, I guess, soon to be former father-in-law is kind of into, you know, antiquities and things like that. And was showing me the blueprint of their house, because they live in a house that's probably about as old as the one you had in New Hampshire. You can see in the original drawings where the outhouse was. And one day people came by, bottle hunters, and they said, can we look at your plans and figure out where your outhouse was? Yeah. And he showed them, and they said, would you mind if we dug down? We'll put everything back the way we found it. And they found a bunch of bottles. And apparently, and I'm not saying this necessarily
little,
was going on.
Little mini bottles like that, huh? That almost like
of anything, because what they would do, so you would have this outhouse, and you'd have to dig a big hole for literally all the crap to go in. And then it would also be where they would throw all of the old bottles. In fact, when I was at that ghost town in California, the mining town, Cerro Gordo, he was doing the same thing. He was really into finding old glass bottles, and he would go try to figure out, based on old maps, where the outhouses had been. Because I guess it was a thing to throw old glass bottles into the outhouse hole. Then when you would patch it back up and move the outhouse, there'd just be a bunch of bottles there.
Hmm. I mean, strangely. I do. They did specifically say, like, all of our neighbors believe that it was not that it was like a dumping ground for things. It was like a that had been covered up. So I don't know if that's the outhouse thing there, but that's interesting. But yeah, everybody said, you know, they would dig in their yards and find interesting artifacts. And so anyway, as I would be digging out this fire pit, like, we'd find little things like that, and I would just still have this moment of being. Of thinking, like, what if I just keep digging? Like, this is so interesting. And for some reason, I didn't. Maybe because I'm an adult, and I don't know why I'd stopped digging. But now that I'm living in an apartment in Seattle, like, part of me wishes I hadn't stopped digging. Like, what if I had just been like this Spanish teenager and just kept digging and digging until, I don't know, until something really great happened?
Well, it's one of the many ways that when you get to be an adult, you don't do the thing you thought you would do when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Because think about this. Like, if you're talking about a piece of property that you own and you're like a grown adult human, you could dig a deep-ass hole if you wanted to. Like, literally by hand or through some, you know, bringing a backhoe in. Like, you could make a bitchin' underground fort if you wanted to. You could also just only eat candy. You could also, like, there's so many things that you could do that when I was a kid, I thought, well, that's my dream life. All I'm going to do is eat candy and like play Nerf basketball, jump off a trampoline and do Nerf basketball dunks and videotape it and watch it back in slow motion when I'm not eating Otter Pops or when I'm not hanging out in my underground fort. Those are literally all things I could actually make happen right now, Andrew, and I'm doing none of them.
Well, you did put a strike zone on the wall of your apartment that you throw a ping pong. That's not too far away from the Nerf basketball fantasy.
Oh my God, I hadn't even thought of that. You're right. It's happening.
And that makes me happy, by the way. That might have sounded like a dunk or in this case a pitch. But no, like I like that. I have I had this out in my office for a while. Now I have it in my closet door because I just started to think that my office was looking. There's one thing to have a childlike sense of wonder, and there's also just a midlife crisis where it looks like you're living in some sort of toy room. But I like playing darts. I wouldn't put a dartboard up in here because I wouldn't want to ruin the walls. But at one point, as a lark, Genevieve got me one of those felt targets with the Velcro balls, and I had that on my wall. Yeah, and I since then put a piece of art there instead. It looks a little bit better now, but I still have that in the inside of my closet door. So if I'm listening to a podcast or something or putting around, I can open up my closet door and just like do a little target practice. Like, it's fun to do stuff like that even though we're adults.
I love that, and this is the whole start of the rubber ball thing for me was because I wanted to have that scene in the movie where they're like brainstorming and they're trying to come up with the next great thing, and they're like, someone's bouncing one of those balls, and then that's when inspiration strikes.
Yeah,
I've had zero inspiration while pitching against my strike zone, but I still like that idea for us. Like, maybe when we're planning next year's TBTL-a-thon, maybe we'll, like, I'll have you over. We'll bring your little Velcro thing. I'll have my pink pitching zone, and you can throw Velcro. You can throw balls at your Velcro target, and I can pitch in the strike zone, and we're going to have a humding. By the way, there is an idea out there floating around for next year's thon already that I do want to talk to you about at some point. I emailed you about it, and I don't think you responded, and I'm wondering if that's an early indication.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there were some problems with that, but, yeah, we don't have to get into it now.
Or a blessing.
Yeah.
You and I will talk about that offline. But, hey, speaking of TBTL projects, let me just say this real quick before we get to the Blurs days. The TBTL Summer Games are next month, if you can believe that. So each year in the summertime, we like to take a couple of weeks, and we like to – well – first of all, it's a chance for us to take a little vacay, but it's also a chance to take part, Andrew and I, in some fun little quizzes and thought experiments and riddles and the like. And I don't know how many summer games now and winter games have been listener generated, but it's so much more fun when the ideas come from the listeners because you guys have lots of great ideas. So if you have an idea for a TBTL summer game, this is like some kind of a again, like a quiz Andrew and I can do, or some other kind of fun thing that could fill about a half hour of time.
Whether it's a personality test or, some people have been sending these in already. Like after our last one, people just stayed on a roll because they enjoyed them so much. I'm going to look for some examples here. But we have some unused quizzes like how old are you food quiz. I don't know if we already took that one or not, but like based on the food you take, how old are you, et cetera, et cetera. So like stuff like that that is floating around online.
Yeah. So and I don't want to like assign people homework, But in years past, some folks have done things that are TBTL specific, which can be really cool too. So anyway, if you have ideas for a summer game, send them to me and Andrew. Please put summer games or summer game in the subject line so that we can put it in the right little folder. But that's going to be coming up here in just a bit.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
All right, Blursday time.
Woohoo!
This is from Natalie in Minneapolis. It's a good city, Minneapolis.
Yeah, it is.
But I won't stall. Natalie says, I'd like to wish my mom, Maureen, a very happy Blursday. She started listening to TBTL to help her sleep.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Natalie.
Let's just do the next one.
She started listening to Natalie.
What's that? What'd you say?
And did Natalie see me at the pool?
Yeah.
She just going to try to pile on my already very, very fragile self-esteem.
Natalie says her mom, Maureen, started listening to TBTL to help her sleep, and she's almost become a 10. I want to wish her a happy Blursday and happy retirement.
Happy retirement, Maureen. That's Maureen, great. Maureen, Maureen. So I wonder if anybody else has ever done that.
Yeah, I can't. That's Dolly, right?
Jolene.
Yeah. I couldn't quite. There we go.
Mario in, I am thinking that's Miami.
Oh, did I spell that wrong? Sorry.
Welcome to Miyama. Mario in Miami and Aaron in Amesbury, Mass. This is where I'm out of my element, Donnie. You know, these Massachusetts and Northeast towns always get me. I'm thinking, how would you pronounce that?
Amesbury? Yeah, I think it's Amesbury. Probably Amesbury. I'm just astounded. I don't think I'm dyslexic, but me spelling Miami Miyama is really something.
Welcome to Miyama.
I kind of like it, but
I do too. It's fun. Yeah. It also sounds like a convertible car that somebody's like dad would have driven in the 90s after he got divorced.
Yeah, Miyama.
He got a baby blue Miyama, and he just won't stop driving it by the high school. It's kind of weird. Mario in Miyama and Aaron in Amesbury, Massachusetts, want to say happy Blursday to Kelly in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. She's an amazing person who sadly has been facing hard losses this year, including listener Kate, who we were all very sad to hear about. Listener Kate passing away. We know she knows how important and special that she is and how much she's loved by us and her nibblings in the Himalayas. Maggie, Charlie, and Sophie.
Wait, I'm just in the Himalayas? I think you added an in there.
The Himalayas.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just want to say we're thinking of you, Kelly, and that's an awesome message from Mario and Aaron. High degree of difficulty, though, you guys. Nibblings, the Himalayas.
Yeah, I don't know what's a Himalayas.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. They're in Miyama. There are Himalayas.
Yeah, Miyama's
this one,
kind of on me.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's how Mario spells it.
I think I was transcribing that wrong, but the Himalayas, how much she's loved by us and her nibblings, the Himalayas, Maggie, Charlie, and Sophie. Anyway, Blursdays.
What are the chances? Are those humans or or animals? I mean, humans are animals, but do you think those are dogs or humans?
I think they're
Charlie,
dogs.
Sophie, and Maggie.
I think they're small, squirmy little dogs.
Let's see, Himalets. I'm going to Google that while you're
I Googled
the next
it too,
one.
And I couldn't find anything.
Happy Blur's Day, Kelly, by the way.
Yes, in fact, not just from Mario and Aaron and us, but Linder also wants to wish Kelly a happy Blur's Day, who says, everyone who writes in always says what a bonkers year we've been through, but Kelly has been through a pantload of it.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm sending her a huge virtual hug from all of us who know and love her. You're an excellent human being. That's from Linder.
Aww.
Very sweet.
Why didn't I have my... I should have had this ready now.
You want to keep Googling? Go. I can do this next one while you're Googling.
No, I'm going to send... No, I didn't find anything either. Well, Kelly, we're thinking of you, and obviously lots of people out there love you. So hope you're doing well and happy Blur's Day. Kathleen in Bloomington says, I would like to wish a happy Blur's Day to my mother, Jane. She and my dad started listening after I told them that a podcast read my email about crying over a tiny trash can.
What a world.
I hope you had a wonderful Blur's Day. You know, next time we're in an all-staff meeting, Andrew, and the other folks are asking, how do you grow an audience? Mm-hmm. We can explain to them. You read someone's email about crying over a tiny trash can, and then they will tell their parents, including their mother, Jane, to start listening. That's how you grow the audience.
It's textbook. It's almost cliche. I'm embarrassed that they had to ask us. All right, Sydney says, I'd like to wish my 11, Micah, the happiest 34th birthday ever. Do you think I got that right, Luke? I think I asked you this last year. M-I-C-A-H, Micah?
Yeah, Micah.
Yeah, Micah. Micah, you're the sweetest and most thoughtful boyfriend ever. Mm-hmm. And you make every day brighter. Aww. I cherish our Zoom date nights. Better Call Saul binge-watching sessions. By the way, I'm... halfway through season 5 right now, Sydney and Micah. If you're looking for somebody to crash your dates, I could watch it with you. And
look who's trying to get involved in the relationship with the listeners now.
I'm
I thought
saying,
you didn't like it when
no.
I did that.
That's how you build an audience.
I've been DMing most of the listeners, asking them to invite me into their special times. Still no takers.
Let me start the sentence over because I've brutalized it. I cherish our Zoom date nights, our Better Call Saul binge-watching sessions, and each and every text message we exchange. If you guys want to text really me, sweet. Too, you can text me. Just, loop me in there. I can't wait to celebrate your day of blurs in real life next weekend. Until then, I hope Scoopy gives you lots of kisses and snuggles.
That's why I live in a teepee.
Mary says, I want to wish a happy Blur's Day to my husband and 11, Nick. Nick is the best cat dad to baby cat Maggie and my best friend. Nick likes TBTL, but there is too much Meadowlark Media content for him to fully commit to your show. Whoa. So I want to send him a chorus of Owen Wilson's for his Blur's Day. Is that the podcast that you're also cheating on me with?
There's
Andrew?
Something going on over there where they're doing the shipping container. They all have like
a Levitard verse.
Yeah, they all have a imitation of Owen Wilson. Oh, what do they call it when they just do a one word imitation?
Yeah,
I think it's everybody just saying, "Huh?" No, I can't. They're making some sound that sounds like Owen Wilson that is funny. Whenever
we have an Owen Wilson on standby, by the way.
Owen Wilson is Marmaduke.
Wait, we have this one, too.
Marmaduke, no!
I always forget that's him. Anyway.
Can I just say something real quick? First of all, happy Blur's Day to everybody who's celebrating a Blur's Day this week. Also, when you mentioned, way earlier in the show, you mentioned the Levitard show in passing, and I laughed out loud, and I never explained what that reaction was about. And it's because I sent you the most old man texts friend text yesterday. I decided that I wanted to try to catch up on that a little bit. I had some time yesterday. I'd listened to enough of the actual news of the world by way of public radio. And I thought, let me just chill out for a minute and listen to some Levitard. And so I really what I was trying to do is figure out how to play it on the Sonos system in my apartment.
Oh, and so is that voice activated?
No, it's just, without getting into the boring details, it's not as simple as going on my phone and finding a show. I have to go through their app and through their various tabs and pages because it all has to get amplified through these speakers or whatever. So I was trying to find it, and I kept seeing this one icon of them where they're like on a pirate ship, but I didn't understand that was the current version of it. I thought that in my mind, that was the old version of them, because they used to call it the pirate ship sometimes.
They still do. I mean, I thought they were calling it the pirate ship when they left ESPN. That's when I noticed they really leaned into all the pirate imagery and almost to an exhaustion.
So I was confused about – so what I could find in the Sonos system was – and I was like on Stitcher trying to get it. Then I was on SoundCloud. I was like jumping around from different platforms. I would find these weird like albums that had been released that would be like the 10 best moments in Lebatard history that somehow was filed as like almost like a music album. Mm. So then I found this like Friends of Lebatard or whatever that's like a picture of Dan Lebatard but involves all of these – I'm trying to find it too as I'm talking to you. It's like everything that's in the Lebatard universe that's not the actual show.
Yes, yeah, so the Lebatard and Friends podcast network.
That's the one. Yeah. So it's basically like Stupidity and I think the Local Hour. And I didn't know
Mystery
Brockmire.
Crate.
The Brockmire character, Hank Azaria, has a show on there or something.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
new.
All I wanted was to listen to my boy Stu and Dan doing their thing. And I kept getting these other versions. And finally, I just texted you like, where in the holy hell is this? And then you sent me like an involved link, which explained it all. But it was like, that was the oldest I think I've maybe felt in my life. I can't find this darn pod card.
I think that's on them, though. I mean, they have made it kind of confusing. And I think like they're still in this transition phase. In fact, I believe maybe next week is like when they officially kind of relaunch under the partnership that they've now made with DraftKings and everything. In fact, they're doing something uniquely, Luke, something that has never been done in podcast history before, which is this Friday they're doing can you imagine this, a 24-hour podcast marathon? Just like they're not going to stop for 24 hours. In fact, you know what? Wait, one podcast did that before too and claimed to be the first ones. That was the Comedy Bang Bang show. But wait, I feel like one show did it before either one of them posers did it. I can't remember. It's an American Public Media show. Okay. They definitely did it.
Oh, Smash Boom Best?
It might have been Smash Boom Best. It was 24 hours out of the back of a van that was driving around Washington State. Yet these other shows claim to be doing it for the very first time. Well, get your own goddamn ideas. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is I can't find the show, so they're down one listener.
Yeah. Did you, after I sent that to you, though, you just sign up for Lebatard, like the Dan Lebatard Show podcast. I think that'll
help. I know, but I will. This is so boring, but it more has to do with the problems with the Sonos app.
Yeah.
It's not very like user-friendly towards the podcast space.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's more what I have to solve for now. Because I like to be able to put it on all the speakers, because if it's just on my phone, I wonder if the listeners can relate to this. I wonder how the listeners tend to experience our show, Andrew. My guess would be a lot of people play it from their phone through their car, maybe Bluetooth or something. I wonder because I can play stuff on my iPhone and just carry my iPhone around like a little speaker. But if anything else is going on, if I'm running water, if Randy the Roomba is doing his thing, I literally can't hear it. I guess I could put in headphones. That's kind of your move, right? You put in headphones and putter?
Yeah, I wear headphones. So
some of that's because you live with someone too, right? So you kind of want to like not overwhelm Vives with your sound.
Also, though, that is definitely part of it. But I'm also just like I'm going from room to room. I'm going upstairs. I'm emptying the litter box. I'm coming downstairs. I'm emptying, you know what I mean? I'm emptying the garbage. I'm taking it outside. It's just easier for me if I can have my phone in my pocket and my headphones on at all times. You know what I mean?
I think I really like, I got very obsessed with years ago, that idea of having speakers in every like room or the bathroom so that you can just walk through the house and hear this sort of continuous stream of
nice.
It started with me in music because I loved being at a party if someone had a similar setup, and now so anyway that I'm trying to figure out how to get it playing on my Sonos, and I will, but the mood had passed yesterday by the time you sent me the info. So maybe I'll block out between trying to file over 101,000 Concur reports today. Maybe I'll go try to figure out how to work that as well.
Yeah, sounds like we have similar afternoons. Okay, to go out with, we're talking about sports radio. Uh-huh. Huey Lewis in the News has an album named Sports.
Oh, sport. God, can we go with the Heart of Rock and Roll?
Do you want to? Because that's on sport, yeah.
Or yeah, it is.
Sarcastic. I couldn't tell.
No, I love that. When they said Seattle, San Francisco, too, on the Heart and Rock and Roll, on the Heart of Rock and Roll, my heart leapt.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't believe that Huey Lewis and the News were name-checking my town. They also named the top 30 American cities by population, I believe, which is a smart move. If we ever release a song, Andrew, we should just make sure we name all the major cities.
Yes. Bellingham.
Bellingham.
That was me imitating the YouTube.
I was waiting for you to finish so that Lynn could pull the audio.
I know what you were doing.
A great town to go to.
I always thought that the lyrics were the heart of rock and roller in Cleveland, and from what I see, I believe them. You know, that,
I can understand that being a Clevelander as a kid. Cleveland does get a primo shout out.
Yeah, and if, you know, the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, which, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there you go.
Yeah,
good power out from me there. I didn't want to end the show with me like trashing the idea of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so that's what happened there. My apologies.
Well, these guys should be in it. You know, my Huey Lewis story that I constantly tell was I was here in Portland at the Hotel Deluxe where we used to stay when doing Livewire, and our friend DJ Tuna and I can't remember who else were gonna go to see Huey Lewis and the News at the Zoo the following night. So they've been on like a zoo tour, and it just so happened that we were sitting next to him in the hotel bar and having dinner. And then he stood up, and before he left, someone in his group said, "You're going to Seattle tomorrow, right?" And he said, "Yep.
Yeah.
Nirvana."
That's
and
right.
Walked out.
That's right.
The greatest. I for some reason I make him sound like Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond, but he did sound a little bit like that. So.
Yeah, a little Rick Riz in there too, maybe. I don't know.
Sure. Well, they say, I'm trying to make a for a day or a lifetime
yeah, right.
day and a lifetime thing, but
they
it's not working.
They say Huey Lewis's don't impact for a year, but for a lifetime.
That story is going to be with me for my lifetime, I'll tell you that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great Thursday. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
LA, Hollywood, and the Sunset Strip is something everyone should see.
Power out.